Twitter has been lighting up since the Olympic torch was lit, and this hour we'll talk about the Social Media Olympics. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Kathleen Dunn this week. It's 7 minutes after 9 on Thursday, August 2nd, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Social media has changed the way news spreads, and the 2012 Olympics are no exception. Millions of tweets were sent during the opening ceremony alone. Athletes are tweeting, for better and worse, and the broadcast media is trying to keep up with the changes. Our guest this hour is Steve Knoll. He's a marketing instructor and social media expert at Madison Area Technical College. He joins us by phone. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for joining us. First, before we get to the Olympics in particular, how much has Twitter grown in, say, the last 4 years since the last Summer Olympics?
Oh, quite significantly. Well, I'll give you an example. More tweets were sent just during the opening ceremonies than were sent during the entire Beijing Olympics in China. So just in the last few years, it has grown probably 10 times the amount of users. And it's obviously become quite a global phenomenon. And most interesting is 4 years ago in Beijing, Twitter was allowed in China. And of course, today it is blocked. So, all those tweets that were sent last week don't even include anyone from China.
And there's a growing number of people who are following Twitter as a main news source, especially for breaking news. Is that right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Twitter has definitely emerged as one of the premier sources for instantaneous and quick information. It's really amazing that a lot of, even traditional mainstream journalists are using Twitter and following Twitter to keep up with, breaking stories, pretty much any major story in the last few years, everything from when they took out Osama bin Laden, all that was broken on Twitter at first. Whitney Houston's passing, all that came about on Twitter before of any other medium.
And is Twitter winning the gold at the Olympics this year as far as social media goes?
Well, it certainly is very popular. It's been interesting. There's been a lot of coverage in the mainstream media about Twitter specifically, but interesting enough, more people are still getting their information off Facebook. And part of that is just because Facebook still just, rules when it comes to the number of users they actually have. Twitter has, a couple hundred, million users, but, Facebook is still up to almost a billion users. So as much as Twitter is being credited for breaking the news, most of the spread of the news is still coming, at least on the social media front, through Facebook.
Interesting.
Yeah. It is kind of, I think people are still getting it from Twitter initially, but then they're reposting it to Facebook, and then it's spreading more through Facebook, but it's breaking out of Twitter.
Well, no, this all raises some issues that we haven't seen before. Spoilers for Olympic events that are time, and we've always had time delayed Olympics, or at least when they're in other time zones, but the risk of spoiling hasn't been such an issue before. How big a bummer is that for people?
Well, there's kind of two different ways to look at it. One thing just about spoilers in general, there's been a lot of talk for the last several years, especially in the entertainment industry, with like movies. And they've done some research that shows that people generally don't really care as much about spoilers as you would expect. There's been some research that shows that when people hear, the plot twist to a great movie or something that, happens in a big movie, a lot of times that actually increases their interest level to actually go to this movie. So it's interesting, kind of, converting it out of entertainment into sports. There was a lot of questions going, if somebody knew that such and such person won this race ahead of time, are they even going to tune into the television broadcast? Well, the interesting thing is they have. And in fact, the ratings for the television coverage, the delayed television coverage, has been the highest ever for a non-American Olympic sport. Or non-American Olympics. And a lot of people, have been looking at this and saying, it's possible that people are hearing, such and such one, I want to make sure and tune in and see it. Or, you know, this person lost, as was the case last Saturday with Michael Phelps, that a lot of people turned in to see that.
So even knowing the result maybe even made people more interested in watching.
Yeah, yeah. So that's been kind of the interesting thing is, as much as, you know, the big thing about sports is the whole, you know, live factor and following the competition as it's going on, I think people still see the Olympics as more entertainment and less sports. So therefore, the knowing the result is not as critical as, say, you know, watching the Packers play or something like that to an American audience.
There have been times when I've enjoyed watching the Packers taped rather than live. It's definitely better for my heart rate knowing the conclusion going in.
And you know, and that's the thing is a lot of people you know live for that adrenaline rush. But you know, we're seeing in our culture that more and more people are more comfortable. They don't really like not knowing how things are going to go into it, and I find that very, very fascinating. I've been in a lot of my classes at school. I've been looking more at the psychological effect of social media and the sociological effect, and how it's kind of changing us as a culture. And that's one of the things I find really fascinating. Is, you know, are people more they're less interested in plot twists and more interested in kind of knowing stuff in advance. I find that very fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's Steve Knoll. He's marketing instructor and social media expert at Madison Area Technical College. We're talking about the Olympics as seen through the lens of social media. What are you doing? Are you trying to tune all that out? Are you taking an internet vacation in hopes of seeing primetime broadcasts without knowing the end? Or do you have that Twitter feed up at work, or are you your Facebook friends updating you if they're keeping track? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, 800-642-1234. You can email talk@WPR.org. How has social media changed the way you follow the Olympics and maybe news in general? Rob Ferret filling in for Kathleen Dunn this week. And by the way, you can follow the Kathleen Dunn Show on, yes, Twitter, at K Dunn Show, K-D-U-N-N Show, all one word. You can follow Steve Knoll, our guest this hour, at I Teach Marketing. So check it out. And maybe follow the Kathleen Dunn Show on Twitter. And Steve, I just mentioned the idea I've read in newspapers. They're still out there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They've interviewed people who have intentionally taken or tried to take an internet vacation. They are maybe that minority that doesn't want the spoiler, doesn't want to know the event when they watch the broadcast in primetime. Do you think a lot of people are doing that, or is that a fringe element?
I think that's very much a fringe. I think that's people just kind of, you know, maybe trying to get a little extra attention for themselves. So, I think it's interesting. I mean, if you're really that much into the Olympics, I think that you'd have to. You know, especially if you don't want to know anything. I find it really interesting just, you know, how much attention this has really attracted. And I mean, yeah, you would basically, if you really did not want to know, you'd have to not check Facebook or Twitter or even email. I've been amazed how many just regular email messages I've been getting from the major news outlets with results. You know, every afternoon about, you know, 4:30 Central Time, you know, in pops the message saying, you know, such and such won this, such and such won that. And I have noticed they've started adding, not the word spoiler, but they, in all caps, it says Olympics result.
Uh-huh.
As kind of a way to kind of warn you.
Look away.
Yeah, look away now. But then, of course, you know, you go to their website 5 minutes later and it's splashed right across,
sure,
you know, and without any. So I think that you basically have to just, you know, not talk to anyone and live in a cave, and you know, at this point, because people are just talking about this stuff. You know, social media is really about communication between people, and that's nothing new. As humans, we've been doing that for, you know, several thousand years now. It's just how we're doing it is different. And you know, if you're working and someone walks in your office and says, "Hey, just hear such and such one," I mean, right there, that could be a spoiler. So if you truly didn't want to know anything, you'd literally have to just take 2 weeks off and just kind of hide in the basement and only emerge at night.
800-642-1234 if you want to join the conversation about the Olympics viewed through social media. Are you watching the primetime broadcasts with a second screen there to follow Twitter feeds or to look up background information on the athletes or to find out how the heck the sport works in the first place if it's an unfamiliar one. 800-642-1234. I want to bring up another phenomenon, Steve Knoll, the idea of instant media criticism. And I'm going to read a few things. There's a hashtag on Twitter, NBC fail. And here's a few of the things from there. Dear United Kingdom, you can be our colonial masters again if you bring BBC Olympics coverage with you. Love, America. Here's another one. I'll never forget where I was when Michael Phelps won his 19th medal, staring at a frozen feed on a laptop, silently enraged. And last, a New York City restaurant was advertising an Olympic special. Obviously, your food arrives 9 hours after you order it. All from the NBC fail hashtag. Everybody's a media critic now, Steve Knoll, on social media.
Yeah, that's kind of easy to do now. And that's kind of the interesting thing about it is it really kind of, you know, brings the message to the masses. And anyone can talk about anything, both good and bad. And that's kind of the interesting thing to kind of follow is the guy that actually created the NBC fail hashtag kind of created it on a whim and had initially something like 40 followers. And, of course, now his followers have gone up, you know, by, you know, thousands and thousands now because that hashtag has just caught on fire and just gone crazy. So that's the whole thing is anyone could, you know, say anything about it. I think it's kind of fun just following the NBC fail. I think a lot of people who are doing this stuff may not even care about the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of jumping in with their own, you know, everybody, they say everybody's a comedian, and they're coming up with their own, you know, fun lines and comments and jokes that really more about telling the joke and not necessarily a true criticism of what's going on. I mean, there's some significant things to discuss about these Olympics and how they've been covered. And this will be analyzed and debated, you know, especially, you know, in 2 more years we'll have a Winter Olympics and, you know, NBC needs to take, you know, you could say what they learn, but I personally don't think they're going to change that much going for the future. But, you know, they might take some of that criticism and make some adjustments and changes. Obviously, they've been really pushing that you can stream the Olympics, you know, live and actually watch the stuff on a computer or a tablet live. Of course, you know, a lot of those problems, you know, it could be the service provider they have and not necessarily NBC's fault.
Sure.
But of course, if someone has a problem, they're going to blame NBC and not necessarily their internet connection.
Well, and on NBC's behalf, maybe is it possible that Twitter and other social media are just getting us addicted to wanting to know things right away? I mean, every other Olympics, as I mentioned, in other time zones has been tape delayed and civilization survived.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's part of it. That's part of this whole new era of social media. And the whole idea that, you know, it seems like things are happening at a much faster pace because it's all about the spread of information. And now that we can, you know, Twitter is a wonderful tool for spreading information very, very quickly to a very large number of people. Certainly that has its downfalls, especially if the information being spread turns out to not necessarily be completely accurate. But still, the whole idea, and there's a bit of an addiction to it just because of the quick thrill that comes with that. And I think that's what's kind of, you know, brought this into the forefront is this whole idea of, you know, within seconds, really, you can know what's happening on the other side of the world. And there is kind of a thrill to that almost seems to be eclipsing the actual Olympics themselves. Just the fact that you can know something that's happening so far away so quickly seems to be more important than whether or not an athlete has been able to achieve a specific goal. And that's really, really an interesting way to look at it.
That's Steve Knoll. He's a marketing instructor and social media expert at Madison Area Technical College. We were talking about the Olympics and social media. How does it change the way the games are covered, the way we follow the events, and news events in general? What do you think? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Are you perched in front of the screen waiting for results to pop up from the event that just happened, and then do you go back and watch them anyway when they air in primetime? Or are you trying to keep that knowledge suppressed so the event is fresh when you watch it in primetime? 800-642-1234. or talk@WPR.org. A lot of other stuff to talk about, too, about the athletes themselves tweeting and that kind of instant communication coming from the other direction. More coming up. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Kathleen Dunn this week. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret, filling in for Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 11, Larry Mueller welcomes Connie Kilmark. She's going to talk about how emotions and family upbringing can influence our financial decisions. We're not as rational as we might think we are sometimes. And it's best to know, she says, what emotional background can bring into our financial decisions. That's coming up after 11. This hour, we are talking about the Olympics and social media. How have things like Twitter and Facebook changed the way we appreciate, enjoy, complain about the Olympics? Steve Knoll is our guest. He's a social media expert over at Madison Area Technical College. We'll go to the phones now, and you can join in at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, with your thoughts, your questions, your story of how you're following the Olympics. Brian in La Crosse joins us first. Hi, Brian.
Hello there. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
What's on your mind?
Probably mostly a question that Steve may have an answer for with all of his research. I'm wondering if I'm an outlier. I probably spend, 15 to 25 minutes a day on Facebook, but am searching the web for various things throughout the entire day. And I haven't been hit with maybe one or two, but not many Olympic spoilers where I guess I haven't felt like, okay, I've got to really watch out what I'm watching there, where every night I'm able to watch, the rerun, and it's fresh for me.
Okay, and you're not seeing a headline off to the side of the screen on your search page? That's where I run into things a lot.
I am not. No, and I don't. I use Google probably 99% of the time. So, and I'm wondering if that's something, too, if you've noticed, is Google, is it just the content that I'm searching for? Because it is a lot more work-specific, but I'm searching for everything from bar and grills to golf courses.
Huh. All right, well, thanks for sharing your story, Brian. Steve, what do you think? Is he just lucky and surfing the right places to avoid spoilers?
Well, and this is how social media works, is when you set up a social media account, like Facebook, like Twitter, you have to go in and set up the amount of content that you want to be poured into this stream of information. So a lot of how you set up your own feeds can certainly play into that. If you do not follow any news outlets, local news or national or international news, they're not going to be poured into that stream of information. Everybody's social media feed is unique to them and to what they want to have into it. Some people do a better job of keeping it clean, versus just a bunch of stuff thrown into it. It sounds like that's what you do, is that you've got your feed set up, and you are only seeing the information that you want to see, and it does not include news stories. So that's kind of a way to protect yourself if you don't want to know that, is to make sure that you're not having this information putting into it. The other thing is, personally for me, I've also been spoiled a lot more just with non-social media internet stuff, like going to websites. And again, using Google as a search tool where they don't have a news feed right on the page like Yahoo. If you go to Yahoo for their search, they also have news information right there that can easily spoil you. So, yeah, I think doing stuff like that, there are some good ways to kind of, still be able to go on and use the internet and use the searching, but you're not having the stuff splashed all over where you run the chance of being spoiled, certainly if you're being spoiled. And I do think your comment about, watching the repeat is humorous, because I think NBC would probably cringe if anyone ever said that their broadcast was a repeat.
Thanks for the call, Brian. You can join in at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Tell us how you're following the Olympic Games and if there's an online component to how you're following it. 800-642-1234. Steve, let's flip things around now. I looked at the Olympics hashtag, and I was seeing tweets from Hope Solo, Michael Phelps, Usain Bolt, and lots of other Olympic stars, famous, less so.
Yeah,
and so this is new, sort of a direct line of communication, or it feels like a direct line of communication from the Olympic athletes themselves.
Yeah, this is kind of a new phenomenon, and it's kind of interesting. You know, a lot was made a few weeks ago from the Olympics that all the athletes had to sign a code of conduct, and one of the new things was a specific social media code of conduct. And that's kind of interesting, is even though, you know, they, I guess, have signed this, there's still been a lot of controversy over what has come out of it. Obviously, everybody knows that, you know, athletes can be big business, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, an athlete really can make a lot of money, not necessarily in their sports, but more in terms of like endorsements and, you know, product deals and all that. So any type of athlete that has achieved that type of fame is probably going to be courted by, you know, various companies, you know, for them. So I do wonder what the origin a lot of these tweet contents from the athletes are coming. And I'm not trying to be cynical, but I am kind of cynical. You know, is it the actual athletes themselves, or is it part of like a PR team that's working on their behalf? I kind of look at it and go, well, wow, if I'm going to go over and compete in the Olympics, I don't know if I'd really want to be spending time, you know, also, you know, tweeting all these thoughts and all that. I'd be focusing more on doing my sport.
Well, obviously some of those have come from the athletes, because a couple of athletes have been kicked out, uninvited from the games because of controversial, offensive, I guess, tweets that they sent.
Yeah, and that has that shows that some of them really, you know, it really is some of the, I'm not saying that any athlete would have, you know, just a corporate background behind them. But yeah, that's been a new thing. There have been several really nasty ones coming out. There were some very specific racial tweets that came out. These were not any of the American athletes, but from some of the other countries that said some pretty nasty racial comments, which I found that, you know, kind of shocking, especially on the Olympic platform. But then you did have, you know, one American athlete commenting about, you know, a previous Olympian who was now doing commentary.
In women's soccer, yeah.
Yeah, and basically saying, you know, hey, it's been 10 years since you played. You got to learn how the game is played today. But that's kind of a little, you know, questionable that they would kind of go out on that limb. And there was some reprimanding for that. As there probably should be. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, being a strong athlete like that, you have to kind of insulate yourself from the competition and focus on your own performance.
Well, are there some lessons there for everyone, not just athletes? Do you think people are going into social media and not really thinking about the consequences and the concept that this is there ultimately for anybody to see if it gets shared, even if I have privacy settings going? Mm-hmm. I better be careful what I say on there.
Absolutely, and that is a huge thing about social media is people do get excited, and I think athletes especially, you know, that the amount of, you know, there has to be a little bit of well, there has to be a lot of ego involved in order to propel yourself to that, and I think some of them feel, you know, that ego kind of takes over, and they say, well, I've got all these people following me because they love me and all that, and they're going to agree with everything I say, so I'm going to get all excited and angry, and then I'm just going to post whatever I want and not really think about the consequences of that. And that is something about social media that you know, it kind of runs contrary to human behavior, that, you know, humans can be impulsive. They can definitely speak before thinking. And if you're just saying it to, you know, a couple people in a room, you know, that can be embarrassing, but not necessarily devastating. Well, now with social media, you can say it, and all of a sudden you've said it to a million people in 30 seconds. And that comes with a price. That comes with a consequence. And this is part of, you know, the changing culture and embracing the social media way of communication, that people have to start to adjust to that. And they're getting better. I mean, we've seen in the last, you know, 3-4 years, just the amount of social media gaffes that have been happening have been dropping. You know, people are realizing more and more the consequences. But at the same point, you take something that's, you know, this incredible emotional event like the Olympics, and then you pair it with a tool like social media, and you just know there's going to be some mistakes made. But personally, I don't think there have been that many. I think there have been some, but when you think of how many, you know, thousands of people are involved, and you know, literally there's 10 million tweets a day, and probably, you know, maybe 20 of them have had some type of controversy attached to them. That's a pretty good percentage overall.
Rob Ferret filling in for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network. Talking to Steve Knoll. He's a social media expert at Madison Area Technical College. We're talking about the Olympics and social media, how it's changed the way we look at the Olympics, changed the way they're covered, and the way we interact with the athletes. You can join in at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can follow the Kay Dunn Show Twitter feed. Rhonda Fanning is live tweeting this hour. Hopefully she's not embroiling us in any controversy so far. We'll see. Still a half hour to go. Back to the phones now with Chris in Madison. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Rob and Steve. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on the Olympic coverage. My husband is actually a former Olympian. He competed in the 92 and 94 Olympics in ski jumping. So we are always watching the Olympics.
I bet.
Every time they're on. And he's been struggling a lot with the NBC coverage, mostly because it's interesting what Steve was saying as far as the focus that the athletes, you know, need to have. Because the way NBC covers it, they cover so much drama and, you know, saying things like, well, I wonder what this athlete is thinking because of this other athlete's score or whatever. And he's like, you know, you don't think about those things. You're focused on your competition and what you're going to do. And so he just struggled with that, kind of how they cover it from that aspect, with all the drama. But for the social media side, it's been, I haven't really experienced any spoilers either. And I was mentioning to the screener, I think it might just be, you know, the kind of person you are, your demographic, your age group, you know, where you are in your family life and all this kind of stuff. Because, I mean, I'm on Facebook a lot and, you know, Twitter a little bit, but people that I'm friends with and the groups I'm involved with, they're watching the evening coverage and commenting on it on Facebook as if it's the live coverage. So I haven't really experienced any of those spoilers from the social media side, but I just think, you know, I suppose if you're younger and single and you have nothing to do but be on the internet 3 a.m, checking this stuff out. So I didn't know if he felt that was, I mean, before, you know, a real change.
Chris, before I get Steve's response, I want to ask, if Twitter had been around in 92, do you think your husband would have been tweeting before doing the ski jump?
I don't think so, no.
Or on the way down, maybe?
Yeah, really, in the air.
Going really fast now.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what he's been struggling with is, I mean, things are different now, obviously, but when you're an athlete and you work, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day just to do the sport that you're in at the Olympic level, you know, you're not just playing a game. I mean, you're really competing. The athletes in general, I think, are probably not really getting very involved in this. They're there to focus on getting a medal. And the few that might be doing that, I'm guessing they're maybe not, you know, going to be medal winners if they're focusing on tweeting instead of doing their sport. But I just was wondering if he's seeing a difference in this, in, you know, age group,
gotcha,
demographics, you know, that kind of thing.
What do you think, Steve Knoll?
Well, I think it goes back to exactly how you've got your social media feed set up. And if you are following, you know, people that are like-minded of you that are not necessarily interested in this breaking news and then re-reporting it to people. You know, and again, that takes into Facebook is Twitter breaks the news, but Facebook is spreading it. And if you're not talking to the people that are, you know, also spreading it or chatting with them, yeah, you're not going to see this. And it also brings up an interesting point that you said that, you know, you've got this whole group of people that, you know, you're kind of the same way where you kind of wait and watch it on television at night. One thing that hasn't really been reported, you know, everybody's talking about Twitter because Twitter's the cool kid right now, so everybody likes to talk about Twitter. if you look at the number of people that are actually using Twitter, which is significant, it still does not compare with how many people who are actually watching the Olympic coverage on television. So there are still just a vast number of people that out, you know, rank the number of people that are doing it on Twitter. So I think there is still a significant percentage of the population that are still, no offense, doing it the old-fashioned way. And I think that's significant. I think there's still a lot of people out there that still prefer to watch it live, that still prefer, or not watch it live, watch it on TV, with the perception that it's live, but not knowing the outcome. And I think that that's not going to change. You know, there are still people that really enjoy watching it. The television ratings, as I said before, are the highest ever for a non-American-based Olympics. So it shows that people are interested in actually watching it. And it does not surprise me. And I think part of it could be not necessarily a demographic, like an age demographic issue, but I think it's more of a lifestyle interest. It all depends on what you are interested in and the people that you are friends with. If you guys have like interests and that like interest includes not talking about the Olympics, then you're not going to be spoiled by this.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Chris also mentioned being bugged by the TV coverage, trying to build up the drama and that personal story, which, you know, we see that kind of storyline in just about any sports coverage these days, more so with the Olympics, I think. Do you think that that's part of NBC and the Olympics' effort, why they're pushing the Twitter angle to try to generate even more of that personal connection between athletes, or at least the perception of a personal connection between the athletes and the viewers?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I would even go as far to say that the Olympics, in terms of a television production, is not even, you really can't even consider it true sports, only because it is so heavily edited to bring out the emotion and the drama. It's really, you know, and this is not necessarily social media, but I've also been following how NBC has been doing the Olympics, and they're really putting it together more like a television drama, like a TV show versus a sporting event. For example, the other night during the gymnastics, NBC actually edited out one of an American's competitors' fall. You know, they fell and basically took them out of the running, and it made it quite obvious that the Americans were going to win the whole thing. They cut that. So when they're watching it, you got the perception that these two athletes were head-to-head, when really everybody who was watching it, you know, over in England knew that the Americans, they had it locked up. But on the television side, you would have never known that had you not, you know, unless you were, of course, on Twitter and knew in advance. So I find it interesting that NBC has kind of taken the approach that this is more of an edited, you know, glorified Law and Order episode than an actual sporting event. And it kind of looks at the Olympics. Is the Olympics sports or is the Olympics entertainment? And certainly NBC seems to be coming from the side that the Olympics are entertainment and should be treated like entertainment. And I think that does play into the whole, you know, we've got the social media out there. We know it's going to spoil the results. So let's use it to better build the dramatic suspense and, you know, lessen the actual sport of it.
Since we're taking a moment to talk about NBC coverage, this is a good time to bring on John in Harvard, who I think has some thoughts. John, hi.
Hey, good morning. Is it anybody else besides me whose jaw kind of dropped when Ryan Seacrest's face popped up on the screen? I mean, who next? Scott Walker as an announcer? Come on. Thank you.
Gotcha. Well, you know that I was just looking at NBC Fail this morning, and that was a common thread there. Like, Ryan Seacrest doesn't exactly say Olympic excellence to me.
But he says entertainer, and that's mm-hmm. where he has, and I agree. I was kind of like, Ryan Seacrest, really? Really? That's all you got lying around to cover the Olympics? But then when you think about it, I mean, that does kind of follow this whole philosophy that NBC is seeing this more as entertainment and less as a sport. And, you know, he is somebody that is known for lighter entertainment. You know, he also does tend to skew towards a younger demographic, and that is something that has been concerns with the Olympics, that the Olympics may be what they call aging out, that the people who are watching it are generally, you know, not, you know, the desired age group. So they've been doing some of this stuff at the expense of quality, but again, it beefs up the entertainment thing. I worry about this in terms of the long-term success of the Olympics. I personally like the Olympics. I'm not a big sports follower in general, but I've always enjoyed the Olympics, that raw competition element. And it seems like that aspect is slowly going away in favor of more scripted, dramatic stuff. So it did not surprise me, really, that they brought in somebody like Ryan Seacrest that, you know, again, is more for the personality and not absolutely not for the sports expertise.
Well, let me try on an argument on behalf of the drama and entertainment coverage. When we watch a football game, they can kind of assume that a lot of the viewers know the rules of football or basketball or baseball. But when you're covering a wide array of less familiar events, everything from judo to fencing to bicycling to you name it, people may not be familiar with the intricacies of the rules and not get the inherent drama of the game. So to capture people and draw them in, maybe focus on try to bring in that human element to bring those people in.
Oh, yes. I think you need to do it. And a lot of it is just, you know, the explanation of it. You know, it's amazing that how many people just, if you don't know the intricacies of a sport. I mean, in America, obviously, football is huge, biggest sport here. Baseball, basketball, these are all sports that would be well known. But, you know, try going to a rugby game and stand on the sidelines and more people are standing there going, what are they doing than actually watching the game, because they don't really understand that. So I think it's essential in a television broadcast. And again, it's entertainment. You do have to kind of help the viewer along with what exactly is going on to understand why, you know, if somebody was riding a horse and they jumped over something and everybody freaked out, that why that was significant. Versus, you know, just another, well, they always jump over things, don't they? Why was that such a big deal?
Rob Ferret filling in for Kathleen Dunn. That's Steve Knoll. He's a social media expert over at Madison Area Technical College. We're talking about the Olympics, media coverage thereof, and especially how social media has changed the way we follow the Olympic events and other big events. In the last stretch of time, I'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. How are you following the Olympics? Are you watching the primetime broadcasts? Are you following the athletes' tweets? Are you watching for news throughout the day to see how things ended up and then still going back and watching later? Or are you avoiding spoilers? 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. How are you doing the Olympics this year? More coming up. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret, filling in for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 10, well, these Summer Olympics aren't the only game in town or even the only Olympics in town. The Chess Olympiad, the World Chess Olympiad, is coming up later this month. And we are going to talk to a couple of big fans of chess, one who's been advocating teaching kids how to play chess, and one a grandmaster of the game. Coming up after 10, this hour, social media and the Olympics. How are we following the games? How are you following the games? Do you have your Twitter feed set to get all the information as soon as it happens? Or are you just watching in prime time and not trying to get those early spoilers? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Social media expert Steve Knoll from Madison Area Technical College is our guest this hour. Before we go back to the phone, Steve, one other angle I wanted to get into, or actually kind of two related ones. A journalist was bumped off of Twitter after he shared the work email of an NBC executive inviting people to go and complain. It's a new wrinkle in the Olympics.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting story. Not unsuspected. I mean, Twitter's pretty clear in their user guidelines about not using Twitter to spread that type of information. I mean, that is a violation of their terms of service. So it doesn't surprise me that they bumped them off. Of course, that turned into a media firestorm. is for other reasons, you know, bringing in, oh, they're trying to censor him, or it's too much money and NBC's insisting on it. That was really just, that would have really happened to anyone for doing something like that. But yeah, that does bring up the whole, you know, if you, because this person doesn't need Twitter, they can turn to other social media. They can go to Facebook and all that and still continue to spread, you know, the information that they are doing. So that in itself turned into a major news story that was probably bigger than what actually happened. I would kind of question, you know, the ethics of that journalist of you know, publishing that type of information, what you're actually trying to get off. I mean, you have to use a little common sense here and think about and going, you know, really, why are you, did you think about this message? And again, it goes on to people getting excited, people getting emotional, and then turning to social media and maybe doing something they probably are going to regret in 5 minutes. But by then, it's too late. It's already spread out to millions of people.
To the phones we go again, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. If you have thoughts on media coverage of the Olympics, if you're watching those results as they pop up online. Oh, and are you watching the live stream? I meant to ask about that. 800-642-1234, or waiting till prime time. Kristen in Green Bay is on the line. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was calling to reassure your guest, I don't think the Olympics are aging out, or at least certain events are not aging out, particularly men's swimming, men's gymnastics, and women's volleyball. And to give the reason as to why I think the Olympics aren't aging out, I'm going to quote one of my friends who said, I'm 24, single, and straight. Why wouldn't I watch the men's Olympics swimming?
Gotcha. Thanks, Kristen. So there are some younger folks still into the games for a variety of reasons, Stephen Hall.
Oh yeah, no, and that's I'm very happy to hear that. I don't think they are personally myself, but I think you know, a company like NBC, you know, any type of big advertising-based entity is always going to be worried about an audience aging out. So I and it does bring up something. I just thought that was me, but I've noticed in the last couple years that it seems like the Olympics have gotten sexier. And I don't know if that's just my cynical middle-aged view or, you know, it's certainly different from what I don't remember seeing all these people in some of their very revealing outfits, you know, in years past. And I don't know if that's the advancement in, you know, swimming and volleyball, you know, clothing, or if it's something that, I mean, there's definitely more of a sexy appeal for both men and women across it. So I have to admit that's kind of been in the back of my head, and I just didn't want to bring that up to anyone.
Well, it's an interesting point, and I've seen some other people make reference to that in the media, and I think even David Cameron, the prime minister, made a cheeky comment about I think something like the beach volleyball being in the backyard of one of the British office buildings. So it's not just you, Steve.
Yeah, well, that's good. And it's interesting. I have seen a lot of, and maybe this is just because of the people that I'm friends with on social media, lots of postings of various blog feeds that really focus on pictures and showing, you know, certain athletes in their performances and how good looking, let's just say, a lot of them are. And I find that kind of almost humorous that I've been seeing a lot more of that. And then, of course, you get a lot more of the social media memes where people are taking some of the stuff and adding captions to it. And that in and of itself is almost a sport, is how fast can you take something and add a caption to it. The watching the opening ceremonies and all the captions for Queen Elizabeth were just absolutely hilarious and were really popping up online even before. I even saw some stuff in the afternoon before it actually aired at night. So it's pretty quick.
Rob Verrett filling in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network, talking to social media expert Steve Knoll about the Olympics, media coverage of the Olympics, how it's changing with new online technology, everything from live streaming to Twitter feeds to us taking things into our own hands and putting our own captions on, maybe Photoshopping in some things, and making our own little Olympic stories. 800-642-1234. Tell us how you're following the Olympics or how it's bugging you. 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org. One more downside someone arrested in Britain, at least one person, for threats to an athlete after they lost, and also, I think, under a malicious communication law. So a downside of the interaction is we can say nasty, even threatening things to people, Steve Knoll.
Yeah, you can. I mean, and again, that's probably one of the biggest unfortunate things about the internet is the ability to hide anonymously behind a screen name. And, you know, and that's one of the things is England has very different laws than the United States and a lot of other countries. And because these Olympics are being held in England, they are subject to the laws of England. So that is something that I wondered, too, that, you know, some people may not necessarily know that, you know, there may be specific things that just outright cannot be said that are illegal. I just think it's awful when, you know, people are using this to make, you know, threats and comments. There was the one about the Olympian who didn't do a great performance, and someone had tweeted that you're a disappointment to your father. And didn't even realize that this Olympian's father had recently died. So that was just, you know, I don't think that was, you know, intentional, but, you know, when they didn't know the whole story, that's the thing, is people can just say stuff anonymously and throw it out there and not really take anyone else's, you know, feelings or thoughts into consideration. That's kind of the ugly side of social media.
But mostly the positive, I'm guessing you'd argue, outweigh the negatives?
Oh, I do. I do. I absolutely. I would say it's probably 99% positive versus probably less than 1% negative. But of course, then, you know, the mainstream media latches onto the negative stuff, and then those become the major news stories. So there's a perception that it's more. But I do. I mean, I've been looking at the stuff, and I really think the NBC fail hashtag is I think the vast majority of people there are not even watching the Olympics. They're just using that as pure entertainment to offer their 2 cents. But, you know, and again, it's sad. That's the part of social media that's sad, but it's also kind of our culture. There's always going to be that aspect of our culture that you know, lives through other people's suffering.
Back to the phones now. Serge is with us in Madison. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, basically I wanted to comment a little bit about the NBC coverage and also how it's a different world now with social media covering it. But basically I think live coverage is essential to most sports, because I just remember watching the Beijing Olympics and something like the Jason Lezak in the last relay coming back from a couple meters behind, and I just remember watching it live thinking there's no way the U.S. can win, and all of a sudden he's out there, and it's just really heart-pumping to see that display, and I think that's what the Olympics are really all about. And now I think when I know the results beforehand, it really takes away that whole, like, shock and amazement of Olympic feats that I think is great about all sports and about the games. So, and I know in 2004 they had the same issues with tape delay, but without social media and internet right now, it was really a lot easier to not know the results beforehand. Because now I get like apps that send me updates from New York Times or something, and it's really just disappointing to, when I've been trying to avoid the results, to finally just get them a little bit beforehand and then know what's going to happen before it does. So,
and Serge, even when you know the results, do you still watch?
I watch just because I feel like I'm a hostage audience. You know, it's the only way I can really see the events on TV. And I think the issue here is it would be really easy for NBC to solve this, because they have, I think, 3 or 4 channels they show games on or show live events on, and they could just show the big events on one of those, like Bravo, and appease both fans. Because I think it's not just the fringe group who wants it live. There's a CNN poll I saw, and 75% of people said they'd prefer to watch the games live during the day if they could. But and even one of the options was it's not a big deal. So I think a large group of people would like it live.
Gotcha. Thanks for the call. Steve, your response.
Well, I think NBC knows that too, and that would be wonderful. But you know, you have to remember, the Olympics are about money, especially the television coverage. And by showing it live, even though it would appease some of the people, it would run the risk of lowering the ratings for those evening broadcasts. And those ratings translate into how much money NBC is making off the Olympics. So ultimately, it comes down to the decision of, do you want to make everybody happy or do you want to make more money? And I can tell you, between those two of them, the clear answer for NBC is money. So I don't think we will see any type of, I mean, they could. I mean, they're broadcasting it on multiple cable channels. They could be showing all this stuff live if they choose to. NBC is choosing not to because they can make more money. And the ratings, the TV ratings, the fact that they're up, prove that, at least for NBC, they made the right decision.
In our last few seconds, Steve Knoll, what event are you following the most closely in the Olympics?
So, well, you know, personally, I prefer the Winter Olympics myself. The Summer Olympics, I've just been following things in a general way. I tend to actually like some of the more fringe stuff, like archery. And I actually caught myself watching a badminton match online on my iPad. And for a few minutes, I kind of got really hooked into watching the game. I don't think I've watched badminton since I was 8 years old.
Thanks a lot for joining us today, Steve.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That's Steve Knoll, social media expert at Madison Area Technical College. NBC's captured the 9-year-old demographic in my household. My daughters are following women's gymnastics in particular. Stick around. There's more to come. We'll talk about chess next hour. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network.